We wish to thank the following sponsors who are relinquishing their broadcast periods today in order that we may bring you the World Series. The makers of La Rosa Macaroni, Spaghetti, and Egg Noodles, sponsors of the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars, the makers of Philip Morris Cigarettes and Alka-Seltzer, co-sponsors of Queen for a Day. Time permitting, Queen for a Day will be presented following the game. We take you now to Yankee Stadium.
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Gillette's cavalcade of sports is on the air. Good afternoon, baseball fans everywhere. This is Red Barber with Mel Allen at Yankee Stadium in New York, greeting you for the Gillette Safety Razor Company as the Brooklyn Dodgers and New York Yankees get set for the opening game of the 1949 World Series. This is the 11th consecutive year that baseball's championship classic is being aired throughout the world by way of Gillette microphones. Yes, and because so many sports fans are also Gillette fans, we broadcast and telecast major boxing, racing, and football events as they occur throughout the calendar. So folks, remember, for the tops in sports, tune in Gillette's cavalcade of sports the year round. The first question that you want to know is about the weather, and the weather is fine. It scared everybody in New York to death this morning when dawn came. It came through gray clouds and it was raining, but the rain stopped about 8:30 to 9 o'clock. The outfield is going to be a little bit treacherous for any outfielder who has to cut sharply one way or the other. The infield, which of course was covered, is in perfect condition. Now, the second question that you'd like to know, the starting pitcher for the Dodgers, Bert Schotten, did not announce him until his pregame clubhouse meeting. He is Big Don Newcomb, 6'5", 230 pounds, finishing his rookie year. In fact, he was not even with the Dodgers the first month of the pennant campaign, came on to win 17 ball games. The starting pitcher for the Yankees is the stout-armed right-hander, Allie Reynolds, who has known for 2 days that he was going to be the starter. In fact, on the pre-World Series broadcast from Commissioner Chandler's suite last evening, you heard Allie Reynolds, and he was speaking then of the fact that he knew he was going to be the starting pitcher, said he was going to sleep well, and that the butterflies wouldn't start until about noon today. And as far as butterflies, there are butterflies everywhere as far as these athletes are concerned. This is it. And I think the tremendous tensions of the two pennant races, each coming down to the very last thing late Sunday afternoon, has added to the number of butterflies that will beset these ball players. But they're great. The Yankees won in a tremendous finish in the American League. The Dodgers won in a tremendous finish and one inning, you might say, in the National League. So adjectives can just be put in the attic. This is it. Now they are going to put their knucks on the line, and it's going to be settled right here and now. In fact, in about 13 fateful moments, this ball game will be on the way. So the two right-handers continue throwing. Reynolds, who won 17 and lost 6, it might be significant to point out he pitched 4 complete games. Newcomb has won 17 ball games for Brooklyn in the pennant race, has lost 8, and as far as his complete games go, 19. He's big and strong, and I think that is one reason that manager Schotten wished him to start. He wanted Newcomb to start so that he can do as much work as possible. Now you want the batting order. For the visiting Dodgers, captain and shortstop Pee Wee Reese will lead off. And Johnny Jorgensen, the third baseman, is hitting number 2. Johnny Jorgensen. Duke Snider is in center field and is batting 3rd. Snider, who drove in Brooklyn's pennant-winning run in the 10th inning at Philadelphia Sunday. Jackie Robinson won the batting championship of the National League by 3 points. Robinson at second base. He was in the series in 47, you recall. Gene Hermansky is in left field. Hermansky in left for Brooklyn. Carl Ferrello, who is Brooklyn's casualty. Ferrello in right field. He has a groin injury. The right side of his groin is quite painful. But the Brooklyn trainer, Doc Wendler, put a whole roll of tape on him and an elastic bandage, and Ferrello is going to play. Hodges at first base. In other words, this is the regular Brooklyn batting order that goes against an opposing starting right-hand pitcher. Campanella is catching and is hitting 8. And the pitcher is rookie Don Newcomb. Now for Casey Stengel and his Yankees. And it's an odd fact that Stengel played in a World Series for the Dodgers, several in fact, and more than that, Stengel in 1934 and 35 managed at Brooklyn before he went to the Boston Braves. Now the announcement that Miss Lucy Monroe will sing the national anthem. Lucy Monroe, accompanied by Guy Lombardo's orchestra, just performed the national anthem. Now we'll go down the batting orders for the Yankees. The six umpires, Reese, the Brooklyn team captain, manager Casey Stengel, who takes his own batting order up for the Yankees, are conferring at home plate. The groundkeepers here at the stadium are still polishing off the infield, so it's just a quiet scene at the moment, the sun shining and the big crowd pouring in. For the Yankees, Phil Rizzuto, who's had a tremendous year at shortstop, leads off. A little scooter, Rizzuto. Tommy Henrich, all reliable. He told us in the dugout an hour ago that his back feels fine. It is not taped. He's not wearing a corset. In other words, he said that slender figure is all mine. Tommy Henrich at first base. He's been a very valuable team player for the Yankees in the outfield or the infield, wherever they've needed him. Yogi Berra, whose left arm is still tender. He has to be very careful. He says sometimes if he hits a ball wrong off the bat, it stings his hand and hurts him very much. Yogi Berra is catching. The great Joe DiMaggio, 12 pounds lighter for that recent bout with Vara's pneumonia. Joe DiMaggio, who returned to get in action just in time those two games with the Red Sox Saturday and Sunday. DiMaggio in center field. Johnny Lindell in left. Lindell, who hit the winning run Saturday afternoon to break the 4-4 tie with the Red Sox. Lindell in left. Billy Johnson, who has been playing good ball lately, is at third base. Cliff Mapes, the rookie who's made the grade splendidly in right field. M-A-P-E-S, Mapes. Jerry Coleman, another rookie who came through for Stengel with his multitudinous shifts demanded by, we'll check it with Mel in just a moment. I think there were about 80 real casualties that the Yankees had in the way of injuries. Mel, how many casualties did you count up this year with the Yankees in the punt race?
We stopped at 70, Rand.
All right, now we told you Coleman at second base, Allie Reynolds is the pitcher, and the umpires. Cal Hubbard, one of the great athletes on the American scene. Oh, what a football player he was. Big Cal Hubbard will be back at the plate. John Beans Reardon will be at first base for the National League. Art Passarella of the American League, Passarella at second base. Lou Jorda of the National League will be at third. In the left field corner, as an alternate umpire, will be Ed Hurley of the American League, and in the right field corner, alternate umpire George Barr of the National League. Folks, now and then, something that doesn't happen is news. For instance, thanks to the cooperation of campers, hunters, tourists, and others who visit our woodland areas, 16,000 forest fires didn't happen in 1948. But before we start cheering, it's also true that forest fires devastated 30 million acres last year. That's an area as large as New York State. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires, so don't be careless. The umpires are going out to take their six positions, and I noticed that Hurley is going in the right field corner, Barr in the left field corner, to make that change for you. And now, while we have the opportunity, we'll pause for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
WOR and WOR-FM, your World Series stations in New York.
The Yankees have trotted out to take their nine defensive posts here at Yankee Stadium. A little cloudishness has come, but there's still plenty of sunlight. Jake Pittler's going down to coach at first for the Dodgers. Milton Stock to coach at third. And now coming over here to the Gillette microphone, one of the great broadcasters. It's a real privilege to be with him again. His broadcasting this year as the Yankees drove to their pennant was equally in tune with the success of the New York club, Mel Allen.
Hello there, everybody. Thank you very much, Red Barber. And it's always a privilege and a real pleasure to be able to associate with you on these World Series broadcasts. I shall never forget the 1947 when you and I went to seven games and had so much fun and excitement. This program comes to you by authority of the Commissioner of Baseball. It's intended only for the private use of our audience. Any publication or reproduction of this program and commercial use of the program is prohibited. And so we're all set for the first game of the World Series. Allie Reynolds, who won 17 games and lost 6 for the Yankees in the regular season, and whose previous World Series experience consists of a victory over the Dodgers in 1947. He worked in 2 games, a total of 11 and a third innings, beating the Dodgers in the second game of the 47 World Series here at the stadium. And he's opening for New York today. Vic Rashi, generally considered the Yankees ace, went Sunday against the Red Sox in that thrilling finale. And thus, of course, Casey Stengel decided to rest him a little longer and start instead Allie Reynolds. Allie has a good fastball, a good curve, and has been troubled on occasion by his control. When Allie's control is good, he's rough to hit. If his control is off, then, of course, he'll get into trouble. Now, the first ball was tossed out by Bruce Howard, a 9-year-old youngster of Astoria, Long Island. He's the guest of Baseball Commissioner A.B. Chandler. He was chosen to represent thousands assisted during this year's record infantile paralysis epidemic. And now the first pitch of the ball game to Pee Wee Reese. Right-hand batter's in there for a called strike, and we're underway in the 1949 World Series. Pee Wee, right-hand batter, who hit .277 the regular season, captain of the Dodgers, a good money player. Johnson in close at third in the bend of the bunt. The pitch is a curve over for called strike two. The outfield for Reese, slightly toward left and center and left. I guess in general they're shading him toward left, although Cliff Mapes is looking for Pee Wee maybe to hit over toward right a bit. Tommy Henrich is deep wide of first. Jerry Coleman, 3 strides to the right of second. Johnson is a little deeper now at third with 2 strikes on Reese. The pitch just outside for a ball. It's an overhand delivery. Allie had come in sidearm with his first 2 pitches. It's a 1-2 count now on Pee Wee Reese. Johnny Jorgensen on deck with Duke Snider to follow. Reynolds getting a sign from Yogi Berra, taking a little time, and Reese steps out. A little overcast at the moment. Sun's playing hide and seek. A little muggy. Now Reynolds is ready. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Reese, and it is swung on. A ground ball hit to Henrich. He's up with it. Out runs Reese to the bag, and there's one away. Pee Wee Reese grounding out. Henrich unassisted. And with one down, up comes Spider Jorgensen. A left-hand hitter, batted .269 on the regular season, and I believe Red had Billy Cox not been injured, he probably would have been the starting third baseman for the Dodgers, would he? He's been hurt, of course, since Labor Day. So Spider Jorgensen is in there. He's had previous World Series experience. Outfield playing him to pull toward right field. Here's the pitch. Strike one, it's called. Fastball in there around the knees. On deck is Duke Snider. Top half of the first inning. One out. Nobody on. Bill Rizzuto is about 1 stride to the left of second base in a step. Johnson at third is in very close and about 5 feet off the bag. Now Reynolds' delivery on its way. Jorgensen swings and lifts a drive to left center field. Lindell racing over into the gap. Going back, and it's over his head and rolling by. DiMaggio's backing up, and Jorgensen's racing to second. Going to try for 3. Then he holds up quickly as the relay comes into Rizzuto. It's a double for Jorgensen in the left center. Johnny Jorgensen's drive into left center was overcharged by Johnny Lindell, and then as he attempted to retrace his steps and backpedal, it was a little bit too late. And Joe DiMaggio backed up, kept the ball from going further, and it's a double for Spider Jorgensen. That brings to the plate Duke Snider, long ball hitter for the Dodgers. Duke batting at .292. with 89 RBIs on the season and 23 home runs. It's a two-base hit for Johnny Jorgensen. Reynolds looks in the Getty sign, outfield playing him to pull toward right. Here's the pitch. Curve is low inside, ball one. One ball, no strikes. Billy Johnson about 6-8 feet off third baseline, a step away from the edge of the infield grass. Rizzuto over near second to hold Jorgensen close. Jerry Coleman, the second baseman, back on the edge of the outfield grass and at a point almost halfway between first and second with Henrik deep on top of the first baseline. One out, one on, top of the first inning. Reynolds has a stretch, the pitch. Snyder takes inside the curve. Ball two, two balls, no strikes. And you've got Jackie Robinson in the batter's circle. A 2-0 count. Milton Stock coaching at third for Brooklyn. Jake Fittler at first. Barra gives Reynolds a sign. The right-hander with a stretch checks his runner. Here's the pitch. Snyder takes strike call over the outside corner, knee high. The 2-1 count. Two balls, one strike, one out. And the fans beginning to warm to this first World Series game. They're still tingling over the sensational finishes in the two major leagues. Reynolds takes a little too much time for Snyder, and he steps out of the batter's box. Duke moves back into hitting position. Dodgers have something boiling in the top of the first inning. Two balls, one strike. Count on Snyder. The stretch by Reynolds. Jorgensen off second. In comes the pitch. Outside. Ball three. The curve, slow curve. It didn't break over. 3-1 now the count. Big Cal Hubbard calling balls and strikes. Beans Reardon umpiring at first. Art Passarella at second. Lou Jorda at third. Hurley down the right field line, Barr down the left field line. The 3-1 pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike two. He cut hard. Man, he leveled. The right field stands here at Yankee Stadium are most inviting. 296 feet down the right field line into the corner with a barrier sloping off. It's a barrier, I'd say, approximately 3.5-4 feet high. And at a point about 50 yards off the line, it's only 344 feet. So he got a full count now on Snyder. Three balls, two strikes, one out. Jorgensen on second. Reynolds takes the stretch. The Spider has a lead. Here's the pitch. Snyder swings and he misses. Strike three and he's out of there. Allie came in with a fastball. Got it in comparatively close to Duke. There's a case there, I believe, Red, of either going all the way or not at all. He really cut on that one. And now here's Jackie Robinson. Jackie won the National League Batting Championship, spark plug of the Dodger team, right-hand hitter. Wound up the season hitting at 342, as did the American League Batting Champion, George Kell, with Ted Williams also a 342 average, but Kell had just a bit of an edge on him when you carried it out to five figures. Now the pitch. Strike called, sidearm fastball in there above the knees. One strike to count on Robinson. The outfield is shading him toward left and centered left. Fifth makes not too far over to right center, but then quite a lot of room down the right field sector between him and the right field line. Johnson in halfway guarding the third base line. Reynolds delivers. Robinson takes outside and low for a ball, and the count is evened up at 1-1. Phil Rizzuto is about three strides to the left at short. There's a good shot between Johnson and Rizzuto with Jerry Coleman, the second baseman, two strides to the right of the bag and trying to hold Jorgensen as close as possible. Tommy Henrik about 8 feet off the first baseline and deep. Robinson out of the batter's box just for a moment. Gene Hermansky's on deck. Jorgensen on second, two down. Count of 1-1 on Jackie. Reynolds ready with a stretch. A look back. Here's the pitch. Slow curve, swung on, drilled out to right field. There's Mates digging over and back, and he's got it for the out, and the inning is over. Robinson lines out to Mates and right. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one man left on base. And the score at the end of the first half of the first inning, nothing and nothing. This is the red letter day we've been waiting for all season, the opening day of the series. Yes, and it's also a red letter day for every man who shaves. For Gillette announces the most amazing offer ever made on a World Series broadcast. Your favorite store now has the sensational Gillette Super Speed Razor and 10-blade Gillette Dispenser in a permanent travel case of handsome styrene. An outstanding $1.75 value for only a dollar. Remember, this is the Gillette one-piece razor that changes blades presto and makes shaving a breeze. Remember, you get 10 super keen Gillette blue blades and a handy dispenser. Remember, this combination comes in one of the most serviceable razor cases ever devised. Yes, and I repeat, you pay only $1 for this big $1.75 value. Ask for the special World Series Gillette razor set. Last half of the first inning, Big Don Newcomb, sensational right-hander for the Dodgers on the hill, who won 17 games for Brooklyn after starting late in the year, being recalled from Montreal. And leading off for the Yankees is their candidate, one of their candidates for the Most Valuable Player Award in the American League this year, Phil Rizzuto, one of the few Yankees who did not come under the injury jinx to any extent. He was out of two games. And actually, the one man on the entire ball club they could have done least without. They could least have done without. So Don Newcomb, the right-hander's first pitch to Little Phil, is inside for ball one. Rizzuto is in his fourth World Series. He played in 1941, 42, and 47 with a .277 World Series batting average. Newcomb delivers. And the pitch is in there for a call strike. Fastball came in there just below the shoulders. Oddly enough, Phil's batting average for the 1949 season is .277. Tommy Henrich on deck. Jorgensen's in close at third. Phil's a good bunter. Reached deep at short, about four strides of five to the left of the bag, over toward the third base hole. Here's your pitch. It's bunted, but up into the air. There is Gil Hodges digging over in foul territory, makes the catch for the out. So Phil attempted to come up with his specialty, a bunt, only on this occasion, instead of dumping it down the third baseline, he tried to shove it by the mound. That was his intention, with Robinson deep at second. But instead, he popped it into the air in foul territory, back of first, and Gil Hodges pranced over and grabbed it easily. So there's one out, and up comes Tommy Henrich. Tommy hitting a .287 on the season. Played in the 38, 41, and 47 World Series. Left-hand hitter, the outfield around toward right. Don Newcomb into the windup. Around comes the right arm. The pitch is fastball outside. Ball one. Hermanski in left. Snyder in center. Ferrillo in right. Jorgensen third. Reese short. Robinson second. Hodges first. Campanella catching. Newcomb pitching. Now the 1-0 delivery on its way. And Tommy Henrich takes outside for ball two. Two balls, no strikes. Frank Crosetti is coaching at third base for New York, and Bill Dickey at first. Gene Hermanski is way over into left center. And Tommy Henrich is adept at placing balls in the left field, but of course they may figure that Newcomb is too fast for Tommy to do that on. In comes the pitch. Henrich swings and smacks it right out to short. Reese grabs it, throws on over to Hodges in time, and they're two away. It was a hard ground ball. Couple of swift hops to Pee-wee, took one step to his left, up with it easily, over to Hodges, two down. Now the batter is Yogi Berra. Berra, left-hand hitter, played in the 1947 World Series, had a .158 batting average, had one home run, that was a pinch hit homer at Ebbets Field. In close to the plate, he stands deep in the batter's box, holds that bat down to the end of the handle. Don Newcomb throws. Fastball, golf foul on the ground down the first baseline. Strike one. No score. Last half of the first inning. Two teams that came in a hurry at the finish with sensational finishing drives. And today they're sort of feeling one another out in the early moments and getting the feel of the World Series. Now the one strike pitch on its way to Berra. Yogi takes a changeup. It's outside for ball one, one and one. Joe DiMaggio's on deck in the batter's circle. Swing a couple of bats around. Two men out, nobody on. No score, last half of the first inning. Don Newcomb's 1-1 pitch on its way. Swung on, it's a high pop-up. Out back of short. Reese dips on the grass and short left a couple of steps under the ball. Makes the catch and the inning is over. No runs, no hits, No errors, nobody left on. And the score at the end of the first inning of the 1949 World Series is nothing and nothing. Red, I believe in 1947, the first game or two of the World Series started out comparatively slow, and then it really began to pick up in tempo, didn't it?
Yes, it did, Mel. And once it got going, it just took everything with it.
Almost took us with it, too.
this first inning showed the dominance of the pitches, but for the fact that Lindell came in when he should have been going back on Jorgensen's a double, it could have been played as to an easy fly ball. We'd have had three up and three down. So I see Reynolds is out there getting all set. We'll hear you, Mel.
And coming up for the Brooklyn Dodgers will be Gene Hermansky, Carl Farrillo, and Gil Hodges. Gene, a left-hand hitter, hailing from over Jersey way. A boy that resembles in appearance, that is facially, the late Lou Gehrig. He's built somewhat along Lou's lines. Lou a little stockier, I think, overall. Gene hits the long ball on the season. Hermansky had a batting average with the Dodgers of .299. He only appeared in 87 games as Bert Schotten alternated his outfielders to get the most out of them at the proper time. So Gene steps in. Allie Reynolds from Oklahoma City. All set to go. You got Lindell in left, DiMaggio in center, Mapes in right, Johnson third, Rizzuto short, Coleman second, Henrik first, Barry catching, and Reynolds pitching. Milton Stock coaching at third, Jake Cutler at first for Brooklyn. Top of the second inning, no score. Reynolds into the windup, in comes the pitch. Hermansky takes just outside for a ball. One ball, no strikes. Big gap in the outfields in left center. Lindell looking for Hermansky to slice. DeMage is not too far off a straightaway center line, but step or so toward right center. Now the pitch. Hermansky takes strike call. Fastball pumped through there above the knees. And the count now is evened up at 1-1. Generally speaking, in a World Series, it being the best 4 out of 7, they call it a short series, pitching is the big key. Now the 1-1 delivery. High and outside. Ball 2-1. Reynolds indicated they curve, but came in with a fastball. It was high and outside. Two balls, one strike on Hermansky. Gene with a slightly open stance, bends slightly at the knees, deep in the batter's box, fairly close to the plate, and the pitch swung on. Loop foul, back of third, going to go out of play, and the ball goes into the upper deck along the left field line. So you've got a 2-2 count on Hermansky. Six umpires. We like to mention their names as frequently as possible because sometimes they are the forgotten men and they do a tremendous job. Cal Hubbard at the plate of the American League. Beans Reardon of the National League at first. Art Passerell of the American League at second. Lou Jordan of the National League at third. Now the 2-2 pitch on its way. Hermansky takes inside, almost went for a sweeping curve that broke in on him. And it's a full count on Hermansky. George Barr of the National League is umpiring down the left field line. And Ed Hurley of the American League down the right field line. It'll be their jobs to watch balls that are hit into the stands and close to the foul poles. Now the payoff pitch to Hermansky is low, ball 4, and he's on. So the Dodgers get the lead man on the top of the second inning. A base on balls. First given up by Reynolds to Gene Hermansky. And here's Carl Farrillo, who in the late stages of the Dodgers' pennant fight was hitting that ball at a murderous clip. Carl wound up the season hitting at .322. And Red, I imagine he was hitting pretty close to .450 down the stretch, wasn't he? The last 2 months of the season. Carl bats him right-handed, playing this ball game with a groin injury. Well taped up, right-hand hitter to the stretch. You look over it first. Here's the pitch. And it's low outside, almost into the dirt. Yogi had to go to his knees and to his right to keep that from skipping by. One ball, no strikes. Been a lot of talk, of course, about the possibility of the Dodgers running on Barra, as they did in 1947. Bill Johnson's in close at third in the event of the bunt near the line. Rizzuto in halfway at short, two strides or three to the left of the bag. Here's your pitch, and it's low, ball 2. Now Jerry Coleman trots in from second base, calls time to talk to Reynolds. Allie missing that plate now and getting himself in a little trouble. He worked hard on Hermansky and finally lost him. Matt's got a 2-0 count on Perillo, and you've got Gil Hodges on deck. Coleman is shading second, just a little bit more than first. Henrik holding it first against Hermanski. The stretch by Reynolds. The 2-0 pitch. Strike called. Fastball over there, just above the knees. It's a 2-1 count. The outfield for Perillo is toward right and center and right, with Lindell looking for Carl to hit the left, but not to pull too sharply. And all the room in the world in left center, and just off the straightaway center line. 2-1, nobody out. Gene Hermanski on first base. Now, Henrik's not holding against him, but just in behind him a step. The stretch by Reynolds. Here's your pitch. And it's low, 3. 3-1 count on Perillo. Always the bugaboo of any manager is the base on balls. 3-1 count on Perillo. Reynolds checks with Barra, getting his sign. Now he's ready. Hermanski with the lead. The stretch. There he goes. The pitch swung on. Hit foul down the right field line into the lower stand. Strike 2. So Hermanski has to come back to first. He stops, however, to exchange a word or two with Phil Rizzuto, their neighbors around Newark, around the Newark area. Baseball players are wonderful people. They battle one another tooth and nail, but in an idle moment in the game, they'll swap small talk. All right, you've got a full count on Perillo, 3-2. Nobody out, top of the second inning, no scores yet. Carl digs in, bat cocked up off his right shoulder, in close to the plate, slightly open stance, the stretch. There goes Hermanski. The pitch is taken high outside, 4. He slowed up on Perillo, but didn't get the ball over. Walks to Hermanski, and Perillo have got the Dodgers in business in the top of the second inning. Nobody out, and Billy Johnson goes over to talk to Reynolds, and there's a signal for action in the Yankee bullpen. Gil Hodges, right-hand hitter, steps in. Hit 286 on the year, including 23 home runs, and drove in 114 runs for the Dodgers. Reynolds ready with the runners on first and second. The Yankees looking for the bunt. The pitch is inside for a ball. Yogi Berra claims that the ball hit the bat of Hodges, but Cal Hubbard says no, it's a ball. Fred Sanford is starting to throw in the Yankee bullpen. Gil Hodges squared away to bunt. That pitch was way in on him. He had to jump to get away from it. Henrik's in close at first. Johnson in close at third. Johnson will try to anchor at third if he can, but if the ball is pushed that way, he'll have to leave the bag. Hermanski moves off second. Perillo off first. The stretch by Reynolds. Here comes Henrik. The pitch is bunted, and it's foul off to the right of the plate. It's a beautiful bunt, but it's squirted foul. Spun foul off to the right. And it's a 1-1 count. Tommy Henrik was charging the plate. Billy Johnson was trying to anchor. Reynolds attempting to protect the third baseline. And Barra, of course, moving with the ball. With Coleman breaking toward first and Rizzuto second. 1-1. You got Roy Campanella on deck. And Newcomb to follow him. And incidentally, Newcomb's a pretty good hitter for a pitcher, so that you can anticipate the possibilities. Top of the second inning. No scores yet. Hermanski off second, Perillo off first. Here's the pitch. Hodges bunts, and it is foul off to the right for strike 2. 1-2. Now Gil Hodges will have to be swinging away unless Bert Schotten would order a third strike bunt, which isn't likely if you allow us to speculate for a moment, although it does happen. It could happen now. 1-2. Billy Johnson backs up at third. Near the line, Rizzuto off to the left of second base, about 5 strides, in a couple of steps. Jerry Coleman, 2 strides to the right of second. Reynolds ready. Here's the pitch, and Hodges swings and hits one back to Reynolds. Reynolds fires to Coleman for one. Coleman back to Henrik, a double play. And the third on the play went Gene Hermanski. Gil Hodges hit to the box. Reynolds grabbed it, threw to Coleman. High. Coleman leaped, grabbed it, came down on the bag, and fired to Hendrick to double up Hodges after they'd gotten Perillo at second, and Hermansky went to third on the play. The batter now is Roy Campanella. Casey Stengel was just out to the mound to talk to Allie Reynolds. Roy Campanella hitting at 287. Right-hand hitter. Squares away. The outfield plays him almost straight away, slightly toward left. Here's the pitch. Inside, around the letters, ball one. One ball, no strikes. No scores yet, top of the second inning. Allie checks with Barra. Hermansky on third. Reynolds delivers. Campanella swings and hits a fly ball out into right field. Cliff Mapes is gathering himself under it. And he makes the catch for the out. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one man left on. Well, as Cliff Mapes gathered that ball in to end the inning, it reminds me that one of baseball's greatest outfielders is Dom DiMaggio of the Boston Red Sox, and he's parked at my elbow right at the moment. Dom, anybody who grows whiskers like yours should know a thing or two about razor blades. How do you rate Gillette Blue Blades?
They're tops with me. I never use any other kind.
Easy shaving?
You said it. And long-lasting, too.
How about the Gillette dispenser? Like it?
It's a real convenience. Saves a lot of fuss.
Now, men, see if Dom DiMaggio isn't right. Buy Gillette Blue Blades, 10 or 20, in the handy Gillette dispenser for the price of the blades alone. Remember, it zips them out unwrapped and makes blade changing a cinch. Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Dom, while you and I were chatting, a friend of yours just walked up the home plate and got a hand.
Yes, I see them down there.
Who is he?
Big Joe, the Jolter.
He's a pretty good outfielder himself, isn't he, Dom?
Yes, he is, Mel. One of the best of all time.
Thanks a lot, Dom DiMaggio. And congratulations on a wonderful season. And now as we come into the last half of the second inning here at Yankee Stadium, no score. Joe DiMaggio leads off. Right-hand hitter. Hit 346 on the season in 76 games in which he appeared after missing the first 65 because of his now celebrated injured heel. Don Newcomb starts to work, the big right-hander. Around comes the right arm, in comes the pitch, and it's outside. Ball one. One ball, no strikes. DiMaggio has been in seven World Series. This is his eighth, and he has a lifetime World Series batting average of 290, 21 RBIs. Newcomb throws. DiMaggio takes right in there for a call strike. Newcomb, a great big fella, sort of untangles himself, and he goes into that windup, and he fires away. A 1-1 count on Joe. Spotted Jorgensen deep at third near the line. Reese very deep. Not too far over into the gap. Here's the pitch. Swung on. Drill foul down the right field line. Out of play. The ball hitting the upper deck and bouncing downstairs. And it's a 1-2 count on Joe. Johnny Lindell is on deck with Billy Johnson to follow. Nothing and nothing. Last half of the second. Gene Hermansky has just put on his sunglasses. The sun begins to peep out again here at Yankee Stadium. The wind is blowing in a mild fashion at the moment toward left a bit and also toward right just a bit. It's a variable wind, but not too strong right now. Here's your pitch. And DiMaggio swings and misses. Strike three. Tried to hold up but couldn't. It was a high inside fastball that DiMaggio started to go for. He tried to hold up, but he went around. Big Cal Hubbard went up for the right hand, and it's strike three. Here's Johnny Lindell, who with one mighty swipe of his bat on Saturday enabled the Yankees to stay alive in the American League pennant race since it tied the Yanks with the Red Sox, broke a 4-4 tie in that particular ball game, and made it possible for the Yankees to go into Sunday with a chance to win the pennant, which they did. Don Newcomb goes to work on the right-hand hitter. And the pitch is right in there for a call strike. Right over the inside corner, belt high. Newcomb looks sharp. Outfield playing Lindell to pull. Carl Frillo is looking for John to hit over toward right center a bit. fellows over in front of the Yankee bullpen. Now the delivery. Change up is swung on, lined out to left field for a base hit. The ball is taken by Hermansky on 2-3 hops, flips his peg into second, cut off by Reese, and Lindell is on with a single to left field. He changed up on Lindell, and Johnny immediately spiked the liner into left for the single. And the first Yankee hit of the game. Now Billy Johnson steps in. Lindell had been in two previous series, 43 and 47. Billy Johnson also in the 43 and 47 World Series. Johnson, a right-hand batter. Billy hit 251 on the season. Below his par, the delivery right in there for a call strike. Outfield well spread out for Johnson. He can pull, he'll slice, and he can hit a long ball. Jorgensen halfway back at third, couple feet off the line. Reese in a couple of steps at short, five strides to the left of second. Here's the pitch. Swung on, a ground ball hit foul down the third baseline. Frank Crosetti, coaching third, grabs it. And it's a two-strike count on Billy. Cliff Mapes is on deck. Crowd sitting back rather quiet, waiting for the big explosion that generally will take place in a tight ball game. And, of course, they're ready to yell at the first opportunity either of these teams gives them. A two-strike count on Billy. Lindell moves off first, one away. Here's your pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Went down swing on the fastball. That Newcomb has got a quick one. He's really alive with it, isn't he, Red?
Well, Mel, he struck out 149 and only came up after the season was a month old, so you can figure it out for yourself.
Here's Cliff Mapes stepping in, who on the season hit 243. Played great defensive ball for the Yankees. Got a tremendous arm. They play him to pull sharply in center and right. And now Bert Schotten is moving Gene Hermansky way over into left center. Newcomb's delivery swung on and fouled back. Strike one. Mapes is another of the Yankee left-hand hitters who on occasion will line that ball down the left field line. And they're giving him plenty of that sector at the moment. A great deal, however, depends on the way a man is pitched as to where he's going to hit the ball. And the boys in the field generally know, everything being equal, where he might hit it in the general direction if he hits the pitch. Newcomb throws. Mapes takes inside around the knees. Ball one, one and one. P.B. Reese deep at short, over toward second. He's about two strides or so to the left of second base. Spider Jorgensen halfway back, 10 feet off third baseline. Gil Hodges just in behind Lindell with two down, and Jackie Robinson at a point about halfway between first and second bases. No scores yet. Two away. Here's your delivery. Swung on and missed. Strike two. Newcomb just overpowering Mapes, as he did DiMaggio and Johnson. And as a matter of fact, he might have done the same to Lindell. He slowed up on John. And John opportunity to capitalize on the change of pace with that line drive to left. A 1-2 count on Mapes. Two down, no score. Last half of the second inning. Dodgers and Yankees at Yankee Stadium. It's the World Series. Newcomb throws. Mapes swings and misses. Strike three, and he strikes out the side. He blazed it in there. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on, and a hand for Newcomb as he leaves the mound. Check that, one man left on base. No runs, no hits, no errors, one left on. Three strikeouts for Newcomb, all in the top half of the second inning. Let me double-checking your totals. No runs, one hit, no errors, one left on. And thus the score at the end of two innings, nothing and nothing. The Dodgers, no runs, one hit, no errors, two left on. The Yankees, no runs, one hit, no errors, and one man left on. Now, before we move into the top half of the third inning as the Dodgers come to bat, we pause for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
WOR and WOR-FM, your World Series stations in New York.
This is Mel Allen with Red Barber, bringing you the 1949 World Series from Yankee Stadium, another in Gillette's cavalcade of sports broadcasts. The year-round, they bring you the outstanding bowl games, fights, the World Series, the All-Star Game, and we hope that you're going to enjoy to the hilt the 1949 Fall Classic. And now, as we go to the top of the third inning, Don Newcomb steps into hitting position. He's a left-hand hitter and a good hitter for a pitcher. We watched him hit one in that All-Star game. Ted Williams made a sensational catch on to Robbie from an extra base hit. Reynolds throws in there for a call strike. Outfield playing Newcomb to... Well, they're playing him almost straight away. DiMaggio straight away in center. Lindell not too close to the left field line. And Mapes not too close to the right field line. The left fielder and right fielder in toward DiMaggio straight away. The pitch is swung on. A bounder hit out toward shore. Rizzuto charges it up with it. Throws over to Henrik in time, and there's one away. Newcomb grounds out. Rizzuto to Henrik. One away for the Dodgers in the top of the third inning. And now we go to the top of the order again for the brilliant shortstop and captain of the Dodgers, Pee Wee Reese. A nickname that, in a sense, is a misnomer, isn't it, Red? Because Reese certainly is no Pee Wee.
Mel, he got the name when he was a marble shooting champion back at Louisville, playing Pee Wees.
I used to shoot marbles. Wasn't very good. They never won a championship, Ed. Reese grounded out to Henrik in the first inning. Right-hand hitter. Reynolds throws. Fastball in there for a call strike. Nothing and nothing. Top half of the third. One out. Nobody on. Bill Johnson in close at third in the event Reese drops a bunt down, which Pee-wee can do on occasion. He's quick getting away from that plate. Reynolds sidearms him, pitches bunted right down to a third. Johnson charges up with it, fires over to Henrik, and it's in time for the out. I don't think Pee-wee was reading our minds, but he did drop one down there beautifully, and Reynolds came very close to messing up the play. Johnson finally hollered him off. Reynolds was moving away from the play at first toward the third baseline while Johnson was moving in, and Billy with that rifle arm fired Pee-wee out. Here's Spider Jorgensen. Swings, sends a grass cutter out to second. Coleman scoops it up, throws over to Henrik, and the inning is over. So the third baseman, second baseman, shortstop each had an opportunity that inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. And the score at the end of 2.5 innings remains the Dodgers nothing, the Yankees nothing. As Don DiMaggio, famous outfielder of the Boston Red Sox, told you, Gillette Blue Blades are tops for shaving ease and economy as well. That's because they have the keenest, most beautifully finished edges ever produced. Those edges also are hard enough to cut glass. So they shave and shave and shave. Never break down prematurely, like ordinary blades that scrape and pull. Now, I know you'll find the modern Gillette dispenser just as handy as Dom DiMaggio does. You see, it zips the blades out unwrapped, ready for use, saving you time, fuss, and bother. Ask for Gillette Blue Blades and the modern Gillette dispenser. They come factory sharp and stay that way until used. You get 20 blades, 40 shaving edges for 98 cents. 10 blades for 49 cents. Remember, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Last half of the third inning at Yankee Stadium, no score. Jerry Coleman, the number 8 hitter in the Yankee batting order, will lead off. Then will come Allie Reynolds, and the top of the order, Phil Rizzuto. Coleman, a right-hand hitter, playing in his first World Series. A Yankee rookie this year who played sensational second base defensively and pretty good clutch hitter. It was his hit in the 8th inning, but the bases loaded that iced the pennant for the Yankees against the Red Sox on Sunday. Newcomb throws, the pitch is swung on, foul off to the right of the plate, into the upper deck, and a World Series souvenir for someone who also will wind up with a swollen hand for a couple of days. One strike to count. I could hear that ball hit that meat hand, couldn't you, Ray? One strike to count on Jerry Coleman. Jerry hit 275 on the season. San Francisco boy. The pitch, curveball is just outside. Ball one. One and one. Coleman acts exactly as his mannerisms are almost a faithful reproduction of Frank Crosetti's. And yet, the one did not know the other. At a time in the formative stage when you develop those little mannerisms, you do have playing ball. The 1-1 delivery, swung on, hit foul down the first baseline, a liner, strike two. 1-2 to count, the ball skipped up into the stands, into the boxes, and the usual scramble for a World Series souvenir. Another thing, Grissetti and Coleman both come from San Francisco, and for a long while, even Jerry's own teammates thought that he patterned himself deliberately after Grissetti, the way he'd move his shoulders, the way he handled the ball, the way he got it away in a hurry. But it turned out it was strictly coincidental. 1-2 the count on Coleman. Last the third inning, nothing and nothing. Big Don Newcomb starts to work. Around comes the right arm, in comes the pitch, and it's over that outside corner for a call, strike three. Man, I mean, he cut loose a fastball. It looked like an aspirin tablet coming up there. And that is the fourth strikeout for Newcomb, and four out of the last five batters. Up comes Allie Reynolds. Reynolds hitting a 221. If Newcomb continues at this pace, we'll be going to those World Series record books, Red. Newcomb's first pitch to the right-hand batter. Reynolds swings and fouls it off behind the plate. Strike one. Newcomb must be pretty quick because they're not looking for Reynolds to pull him. The outfield is shading toward right on Reynolds. Allie can swing the bat pretty well for a pitcher. Jorgensen's hanging around in close at third near the line. Reese over towards second. Here's Newcomb's delivery. Reynolds swings and sends a fly ball down the left field line, and he did pull him, and Hermanski can't get it, and the ball is by him, and Reynolds is going to go for two. Here comes the throw, a beautiful throw, but Reynolds goes in standing up with a double. The ball gets by Robinson, but Gil Hodges is backing up. Allie Reynolds caught him, overshifted for him, as they didn't figure Allie could pull Don, but he did. As an ordinary fly ball that Hermanski could have put in his hip pocket had he been playing Reynolds to pull, but he was way over in the left center and couldn't catch up to it. So that's the Yankees' second hit of the ball game. Three in the game. The Dodgers have had one. And up is Phil Rizzuto, who fouled out in the first inning to Campanella. The pitch is swung on, fouled back to the screen. Strike one. Last half of the third inning. One out and Reynolds on second base. Outfield for Phil. Almost straight away. Snyder's just a step over into left center. Spider Jorgensen hanging around in close at third. Now he backs up a step. Not too deep. Don Newcomb stretches, pitches. Phil takes just off the outside corner. And the count is evened up at 1-1. And so the crowd now has begun to warm a little bit to the situation with a runner in scoring position. One ball, one strike, one out. No score. Last of the third inning. Newcomb has his sign from Campanella. He's ready to work. Here's his pitch. And it is swung on. A little pop-up hit back up first. There's Robinson going out on the grass in short right. Makes the catch, and Reynolds holds it second base. Rizzuto lifts a pop-up back to first, which Jackie Robinson needs over to get. And now Tommy Henrick is coming to bat with two down. Tommy was tossed out by Pee Wee Reese in the first inning. Yogi Berra moving up into the batter's circle with his shin guard still on, with two down. He will not bat in this inning unless Henrick keeps the Yankee hopes alive. It's a nothing-nothing ball game, last of the third. The Dodgers have had a runner as far as third. Hermanski in the second inning. Reynolds is the furthest a Yankee has been. He's on second base. Lindell singled, but didn't get any further than that in the second inning. Newcomb with the stretch. Reynolds with a short lead. Here's your pitch. Henrick takes inside for a ball. Roy Campanella, very agile back of that plate, moves his feet around beautifully. As soon as he catches that ball, he's got that arm cocked and ready to fire in the event a throw is necessary to any base. Nobody is darting around trying to hold Reynolds close because he doesn't have too big a lead. Two down, stretched by Newcomb. Here's your pitch. Henrick swings and pops it up into the air toward third. Jorgensen getting out of the ball. And then Reese sneaks him off and says he's got it and does. Makes the catch for the out. No runs for the Yankees. One hit. No errors for Brooklyn. And one man left on for New York. I might add that at this time of year at Yankee Stadium, when the sun is out brightly, particularly a little bit later on in the ball game, the sun field, which is left field, is a murderous one. And also, those who might be playing in center, if they're not accustomed to the situation here at Yankee Stadium, might find it difficult, as Pete Reeser did in 1947. The sun is in behind home plate, and it's a triple-deck stadium. So a ball comes up out of home plate, and as it gets as high as the stadium, which is pretty high, and it has the stadium as a background, then suddenly, as it gets higher than the stadium, it's right into that sun and in there in a hurry. And so frequently, it can give the outfielders trouble, even those who play against it all season long. Now, at the end of three innings, the score, nothing and nothing. The Dodgers, no runs, one hit, no errors, two left on. The Yankees, no runs, two hits, no errors, and two men left on base.